It'll be a first down at the 12 for the Raiders, the 11th play of the drive. They've run five times and passed for four occasions. And here is Jacobs back in the game, and Jacobs is going to score. Touchdown, Oakland.
David, football, football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Cheerio. Hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Go get you some, put them in your belly, all over the Southeast, up in Ohio, Utah, hopefully soon, here in Southern California. In the meantime, we have another exciting week. I'm not going to jive you. It was a devastating week five for me as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But you know what? Seated to my immediate left, the other side of pro football action and the enthusiasm that can it bring. It is the older brother of the starting quarterback of the Oakland Raiders. Our old pal, it's been far too long here in Studio 66. Also, a guy who gets a lot of heat for his opinions in 2019. Really, you've had a lot of hot takes, fella.
Just taken.
It's David Carr. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, how you doing?
Mazel tov. How'd your brother like London?
He loved it.
Did he? You talked to him over there?
I did. It was kind of weird because I would be going to sleep as he's waking up, so like the time thing was kind of weird. But he was definitely happy he didn't have to get beat into a pulp, because every quarterback that has faced the Bears this year has gotten hit minimum 15 times. And so
Let's talk about that. There are a lot of things to talk about. I want to get to the Patriots and whether or not, I mean, they certainly have to get to the halfway point in the season undefeated. And is it realistic? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about we'll talk about backup QBs, third string QBs, bad losses, great victories, and all that. But I want to talk about, I love to do with you, the human element of this. So Derek and the Raiders, they trade away Khalil Mack. They turn, or John Gruden, I guess, sort of becomes the face of what quickly becomes a punchline organization in the NFL.
Quickly.
You know, for real. 13 months ago, everybody was laughing at John Gruden. He's done. Now he's 3-2.
Locker room included. Like, there were guys in the locker room who were saying, "What? Why would we trade him?"
Did Derek say that?
I'm sure he did. He's his best friend. He doesn't want to lose Khalil Mack and play against him.
Wait, you're fielding calls from a guy who's in the UK just as you go to bed and he's waking up, but Khalil Mack didn't come up in your conversation.
No, stop. you already know how those went.
All right, so fine. So the trade was made, and now on the other side, you just hear Josh Jacobs getting into the end zone. I can't remember if one of those picks that the Raiders got ended up being spent on Josh Jacobs, but okay,
Let's say good.
It looks good, right?
Yeah. Well, so I mean, that's what that really their goal as they went over to London and talking with little brother before the trip was, Khalil Mack can't make an impact on this game at all, and I don't care if we have to run the ball 50 times, it's just not going to happen. We might lose it, they might go out there and score more, but we just can't be in that situation. So that was handled. They did a great job. They went out there with three tight ends. And they schemed it up to where even when they threw the football, Khalil was getting chipped. Darren Waller would hit him. A wide receiver would hit him. A running back would hit him. And he was just, it was frustrating. I mean, Khalil's a fantastic player, and he was treated with the respect that he is due, because the whole game plan circled around him not being a factor. And then they ran the ball really well. And then when they did play action pass, which is fantastic, no pressure. There was no one around him. So even the checkdowns were going for 10, 15 yards a pop.
Why do we continue to see teams ignoring play action?
It's crazy.
I don't understand.
Me.
You and I have been singing its virtues for at least
it's
two or three years.
It's a glorious way
now.
To run offense.
Why people haven't picked up on the Handsome Dave's offensive philosophy yet, I don't know. I'm glad that it's reached Derek. I love that. So they were so really, on some level, I know they're 2-2 and going out there, and pro football teams at this point in the season, unless you're 0-for, probably are sort of fancying, here's how we could still get to the postseason. At 2-2, you have bigger fish to fry than not letting Khalil Mack embarrass you and remind everybody that you gave him away. But on some level, that kind of transcends the importance of the game. It's like, we can't get embarrassed as an organization by this guy.
Well, the nice thing about it was, like, you're killing two birds with one stone. If you make it to where Khalil Mack doesn't wreck your football game, you just might win the game. And that was kind of going into it, like, he's the best player on their team. Let's eliminate him. Oh, by the way, it's going to make our trading him away look not so bad if he doesn't have any sacks. And we have four or five, which they did, which was kind of a nice little contrast there. And then by the way of doing that, you ended up getting a physical, aggressive nature. Your offensive line played fantastic. Oh, by the way, they're going to get Gabe Jackson back, you know, in 2 weeks. So, I mean, that was all good. I mean, it couldn't have gone better for them.
Well, reverse engineering for the rest of the league. So they try to take Khalil Mack away. Is this, in fact, some template that other teams can follow in how to stop the Bears? Because I'll tell you, these teams, the kryptonite of defense dominant teams has always been that you can, if you can get to January with the dominant defense, you can win out.
Yeah.
But you're going to, along the way, have some weird stumbles because by the nature of the way you're playing, everything's going to be nip and tuck.
Yes.
You're going to play a lot of one-score games and some fluke results can happen.
Right.
I'm not saying this is a fluke necessarily.
It's exactly how you've seen it in the past with defensive-oriented football teams that don't have a great explosive offense, and they play to that defensive strength. So when you go out there and you feel like your defense is going to shut them down and play really well and your offensive game plan is kind of geared towards that, then when you do have a team that goes out and jumps up on you and scores a lot of points and you're kind of pressing on the offensive side, oh, our great defense is getting scored on. What do? You kind of panic and you throw some bad balls, and that's what happens. So, I mean, but that's going to happen. You're going to play some nice weather at the beginning, and this isn't going to really make sense what you're doing. But come around Christmas time, the Chicago Bears playing great defense is going to be a good thing. So don't be too stressed.
I hear you, although I do wonder, for a guy who's supposed to be an offensive wizard, are we now seeing yet another guy fall prey to being overhyped? Matt Nagy, is he, where do you come down on him now as an offensive guru?
I think Matt Nagy, I think we gave Mitchell Trubisky too much grief because they really utilized him and his legs and his mobility in the offense. And so when you go from kind of gearing your entire offensive system to that guy, and then you kind of jump into, oh, well, now Chase is going to be more of a drop back guy. I'm not really a drop back pass guy type schemer. I mean, that's hard for Matt. I mean, as great as he is as calling plays, I mean, if you've had a guy that's mobile and can move and you utilize him in that offense for so long, and then you go into where you're just kind of in drop back pass mode and you're just kind of running normal run plays, you're going to be just a normal.
I do agree with that. Although it does, like I say, the bigger question is with the pieces they have, they should be a capable offensive team. But I do agree with you that Trubisky, if they don't run that guy around, he's a moose.
Yeah.
When he gets out of the pocket,
he's great. I mean, the hidden
yards, he's fast and big.
And they can utilize play action and move him out of the pocket. And then he makes a ton of plays with his legs. And I mean, I'm just happy Tariq Cohen didn't touch the ball as much as he did because that guy's dynamic. So there are some things that Matt Nagy, I guarantee on his flight back, would have said, oh man, we should have done this a little bit more, taking advantage here. And they didn't, but that's fine. They lose the game. They'll figure
it out. So now the Raiders, your Raiders, 3-2. How come you didn't get the invite to go to the UK, by the way?
We tried to make that work. We were going to go do a whole interview with Khalil Mack and Derek and kind of just, you know, bury the hatchet a little bit. We're going to do it right there.
It would have been nice.
It would have been nice. We couldn't make it all work, but they were both in for it. So that would have been
Khalil fun. Was like, Derek who?
Yeah, well, he didn't. Khalil was a little upset after the game, as you can understand. And they got in late. That's the other thing. And I don't know why Chicago, I don't know why you would fly across the UK 2 days before the game. I mean, you're going to be completely exhausted. I mean, Brady Quinn does stuff on NFL Network as far as the radio goes, and I talked to him about it. He said the worst he had ever felt going into a game was when they flew over on a Friday. And then he's like, game time, we had no energy. So you could see that, and Chicago was zapped.
Well, players bellyache about stuff like Thursday night football. So if there ever is a team put in London, that's going to be a hurdle. I don't 100%. Think that the league will ultimately stop down because of those player concerns, but that is something that would be.
It's a very real thing. Yeah, because you could see it with in the first quarter. And strategically, the Raiders knew that was going to happen. Which was really cool talking to Derek about it is John Gruden knew that the Bears were coming over late and they went no huddle in the first quarter to try and kind of speed that whole process of being exhausted up. And it was beneficial.
That's lucid. That's what I'm talking about. I put John Gruden on the wrong side of the ledger. I keep saying in 2019, it's a coaches league.
Yeah.
And the coaches that are nimble and able to adjust based on week to week kind of things. And
like,
hey, what's the
no
other
huddle.
Team's weakness? Well, then that's what we're going to go after. It doesn't make a difference what our philosophy is. It's what their weakness is. And that's what we're going
to
attack.
It was good to see. It was definitely good to see. When I heard that, I was like, okay, John, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
That.
It's enough of this.
Tired? No huddle. Who cares?
Enough of this knock on wood jive. Yeah. That has no, like, impose your will has no meaning in 2019.
No, it does not. It has never really, I would argue, had any meaning. I mean, the coaches that get up and impose your will and bark about the, you know, the emotional, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. And you got the offensive lineman in the back of the room making fun of you anyway. Like, literally, that's what happens.
I've been going on and on about this, and some of the diehard DDFP listeners have dropped me a line to say, please stop talking about the coaches league thing. But it's
absolutely right.
It is true that this nonsense about, like, hey, doesn't make a difference what the other team's doing. The only team that can defeat us is this team. We must do what we do best. Like, what? There was an era where that worked, though.
There was
we run and we don't care who we're playing.
Yeah. No,
now the teams that are successful they attack what they see is going to allow them to score the most points and stop the other team from scoring the most points against them.
Absolutely right. And there's obviously a strategy to it, but I think that the biggest thing is there's so much parity now. Everyone has the same players. I mean, except for maybe five or six, just all world, any era you put them in, they're going to be the best player. Everyone's the same. So it's a chess game, right? You have to be a better chess player than your opponent. And that's, goes to the head coach and the play caller and who's making the decisions of where to put these guys. So I'm a huge, huge coach fan.
I see. I'm with you. And so last question, 3-2, do you now see in an AFC, we talked about it all last week, outside of the Patriots and Chiefs, and the Chiefs now have dropped one. And I mean, I don't know. I don't want to make, I always say to people on the DDFP and beyond, I always remind you, football season, like life itself, is long. I know you think it's short and you can be a prisoner of the moment. And now the Colts are the best team in the AFC if you watched Sunday Night Football and watched the way they dominated. So don't overreact to every game that happens. The Cowboys are still good. They're not a bad team because they lost at New Orleans and then lost to a Packers team that's playing well coming in, who were well rested after Thursday Night Football 2 weeks ago. But that being said, let's play devil's damashek. Mm-hmm. What about those Chiefs? Did they get exposed a little bit that you can grind them?
Well, I think that we've seen over the last couple weeks here's how you got to play the Chiefs. You have to play them. And the Raiders thought that this was the correct way several weeks ago until they got 28 thrown on them in the second quarter and ended up losing that game. They were up 10-0. So you play them tight man-to-man coverage, and you don't buy into the smoke and mirrors and the motions and everything. You just lock on your guy and you run with them. And if you can make plays there, or you can make Pat miss a couple of throws, which he missed five or six in a row in this game the other night, then you have a chance. But if you just play zone, you kind of sit back there and you let Andy Reid do his thing, and he's going to dice you up. There's going to be guys running wide open all over the place. But I like what Detroit did. They just didn't have the personnel to do it. And I don't even know if the Indianapolis Colts had the personnel to do it, but they did a good job of kind of holding them down. And Pat was hurt. So he was,
I guess that's the asterisk.
He was hurt.
That he had the bum
ankle. He had some injuries. Yeah, he had the bum ankle. But he's still able to move around a little bit before that, and he still missed some throws. But then on the opposite side, you have to have a team that can control the clock. I mean, at one point in the second half, I'm looking at the time of possession. It was Colts 17:30. And Kansas City, 3 minutes. So, I mean, that's really, when you talk about it, you talk to Bill Belichick, Tom Coughlin, when you'd play teams, when we used to play the Patriots, it was keep them off the field. If they're not on the field, they can't score. So you have to have Quentin Nelson. You have to have guys that you can run the football and do that with. And that's where you start to look for the teams that can do that kind of thing against a high-powered offense. If you don't have that, if you're going to go in there and just kind of, if you're the Rams, you think you're going to go just keep up with those, it's not going to happen. You're not going to do it. You have to change the complete strategy of the game and pound the football, a la what the Raiders did to the Bears. I mean, you can't go out there and think that if you throw the ball 30 times in a drop-back scenario, Khalil Mack will have 5 sacks. He will ruin your game. You have to play it a little bit different, and if you look at the teams that can do that, then they'll be there at the end.
Again, the asterisk is that Mahomes wasn't 100%.
No, he wasn't.
But I do, and now, see, I'm all over the place because I did, you know, watching Bill Cowher Steelers teams, I did like that feeling of like, we're playing Phil Rivers, high-powered Chargers team in San Diego, and all of Football America is watching us on the big stage here. And in the fourth quarter, the Steelers would have a one-score lead, and they would just grind it out with 36. Yeah. And it was very satisfying.
Very satisfying.
The 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of thing.
Well, I think it's the most satisfying brand of football. It's kind of disappeared, and teams aren't really kind of geared towards doing that. But you look at what the Colts have done, what the Raiders did, actually what the Raiders did to the Colts.
I don't think it's disappeared at all.
I love that it's still
the Patriots
there.
Did it all through December and January.
And won a Super Bowl doing that. So it's still the way to do it. And I think it's the most satisfying, especially as a quarterback. I mean, Derek's comment this morning when I was talking to him coming in here, he's like, dude, I was literally just calling the appropriate run. Like there wasn't even a pass option. I would get up to the line with like three different run plays. I'd find the best one, call it, and we'd get 5 or 6 yards. Like, that's how you end football games. If you can do that, you have the personnel to do that. I mean, all for it.
How much, not to get too micro about it, but to the point that I think we're both making about playing to your strengths and attacking the other team's weaknesses and all that kind of stuff. If you have the right side of that Colts line, what team is rightly capable of stopping that?
Right. I don't think there is one. I mean, you're going to
have to sell out to stop it, right?
Schematically, you have to sell out and say, okay, we're just not going to let you run it. We're going to have an extra guy down there. So once all our gaps are fulfilled, and even though they're blocking us in those areas, we got an extra guy coming in to make the play. And then that opens up to the one-on-ones on the outside. And then you throw it when you have to and you play action, and then you can make your plays. So that's the only way to do it. If you don't have the guys physically, then you have to go schematically and try and add an extra body.
Two more things about the Raiders. And I guess more broadly, with Derek, first of all, I'm curious as a side note before I ask you a serious question is, did Derek, because this was a serious matter to me. I don't know if you saw what our mutual pal, Handsome Hank Hodgson, you know, he's a vice president at the NFL.
I know.
He has oversight on how mannequins and stuff are set up over there.
I would
there.
Think that he probably...
You okayed, saw what happened.
He probably okayed the first setup.
Right. He had Khalil Mack running for a touchdown with pigskin tucked under his arm and Derek Carr diving in vain to try and catch him.
Like that.
Did that hurt your feelings?
Yeah, well, I mean, either says two things. Either the UK is so confused about Derek doesn't play safety and Khalil doesn't play tight end, or they're saying that Khalil Mack's going to strip the ball to Derek's hands. He's going to rip it away and run away for a touchdown. Derek's going to be crawling at his shoelaces. Try either one of those is not fair and balanced, I would argue. That's not 50-50 because you're not telling the whole story.
Well, I mean, Handsome dropped me a line to say he and Derek did catch up on Saturday.
Oh, good.
Derek didn't mention that?
I mean, Derek didn't say anything about it.
He said everything was cool between the two of them.
Well,
I want to let Derek know.
No, I did. I
play
did
a game
actually.
Of actual telephone and let him know that the guy who he was glad handing with the English accent,
yes,
and the powerful left arm, rare for an Englishman like Handsome has, was in fact the enemy.
Now that I think about it, I definitely sent Derek either a direct message or I screenshotted your tweet.
Yeah,
righting the wrong.
I didn't want to. Well, because I didn't want.
So I think that he knew that if Hank approached him, he would at least know what was happening.
Well, it was a warning because I said to Handsome, you know, I hope Derek and the rest of the Carr family doesn't find out about this. So I sent the tweet saying, look at this picture, Handsome. This would be terrible if Derek saw this. You know,
as
it hurt his feelings.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he did, but it's all good. It's because it was fixed. And that's what, I mean, to Hank's credit, he changed it.
Some guys, you know, they always say, you know, whatever you go, if what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's not true for everybody. Like me, I crumble if you challenge me. But Derek showed that he's got some real metal, you know.
He does have real metal. And I don't know that I do because I reacted out of emotion and I sent it right to Darren. And I said, we need to make sure that this is publicly known. This is not correct. And I'm glad that you actually made it public because it forced Hank's hand.
That's what I'm here for. I try to make the world a better place.
Otherwise, it would just be what is happening in the UK.
My thing, I'm a man of peace. You know that.
Yeah,
you know, that's why I was trying to forge.
You did forge it, and it's credit to you.
Good. So. Then problem solved.
Yeah.
Now, there is still some discord because a guy who for a few months wore a silver and black 84 jersey is now, he wants money from various pro football teams, one of whom is the Raiders. Legitimately, have you talked to Derek about what would this team be if it still had that guy on it?
Well, I mean, yes, we have discussed that.
Because think about that.
Yeah.
The way Tyrell Williams has played.
Yeah.
And
really, Tyrell, I mean, he's done a great job. And
yeah, he has.
But, I mean, can you just imagine if there was another guy over there with the ability that Antonio has? I mean, and we've actually gone down that road and said, well, I mean, they would have been able to keep up with Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, there's a lot of ifs, you know, but you know, it's unfortunate because Derek, like I've said before, would have loved to have played with Antonio Brown.
Can you imagine? Absolutely. I mean, for real, like it does.
The hypothetical came up, and Cole Wright actually asked me the other day. He's just sent me a message. He was doing a show over here, and he's like, "How many touchdowns would Antonio Brown have by now?" I'm like, "I don't know, 5 or 6." I mean, that's a huge difference. And you think of some of those games, I mean, and 14 or 15 isn't out of the realm of imagination as far as what he would do throughout the course of a year. Could you use 14 or 15 more touchdowns? I would think so.
I mean, it's an interesting question. Who's now Cole?
Cole Wright. He's
not familiar.
Derek likes Cole. He gave him a shout out on the network when I sat down with him in training camp.
Is that right?
He's right when he sat down. I was about to do an interview, and he said, "You know, I just want to give a shout out to Cole Wright." And I'm like, I don't know where that came from.
Weird.
I don't know if Cole like sent him a message and was like, "Hey, give me a little shout out. I need some love," but I don't know.
I'm more Darren and your mom's flavor, which is not. I'm not saying anything. That's not to cross a line. I interact with them. They shout out to me.
Weird, but yeah, no, Darren enjoys you. I think it's the beard. I think it's definitely the beard.
Somebody asked who would win in a fight between you and Derek.
Yeah.
Darren is the correct answer, right? He'd beat both of you at the same time. He would just take you and bonk your heads together.
That is the overwhelming. Most people believe that to be true, but I would argue that. I would argue that point. I've wrestled Darren many a times.
There was a
moment when Derek was younger that I told Derek, we were playing Madden against Darren. I said, "Hey, just slap Darren in the back of the head as hard as you can and run. I got your back, buddy." And Derek, to his credit, he did it. He hit Darren, and Darren was about 330 pounds at the time playing defensive line. And he ran out of the room, and I was hot on his heels. I had to tackle Darren, and we went into the wall. And, you know, our house, our track home was fantastic. I loved it. Thanks, Dad. But the walls gave a little bit. And so, like, we were going back and forth, and Mom came down the hallway with a spoon, and she's hitting us like we're trying to break up two pit bulls. And it was great. It was good fun. But Derek did it. He slapped him.
The legend of the Carr family would be even greater if you would have literally broken through walls.
Right? Can you imagine if I was just ended up in my father's bedroom, like through the wall? And
hey, Kool-Aid, you know? Hey, Carr-Aid. Coming through. Yeah, yeah, that would make the story better.
I'm going to do that next time.
Next time, yeah. Add the wall breaks.
Yeah, we went right through the wall.
Yeah. When you're on Fancy TV with Cole Wright, tell that story.
Right.
But this one ends with you guys going through the wall together.
Much better.
All right, let's talk about another game.
Okay.
I mean, I know people, I hear you. If you are Browns or Jets or Lions or Vikings or whatever fan of a team that you feel like, or a Bengals fan, or I don't even know what team at this point. There are a lot of teams that have suffered for a long time. Yeah. And I get it that the Steelers fans have not suffered as much. But also, I'll remind you of the old cliche about the bigger you are and how the fall hurts more and all that kind of stuff. My expectation is different than yours. Yeah. I'm not a Jets fan. A playoff spot is not enough for me. No. I expect pursuit of the Lombardi perennially, you see.
Rightfully
and so. So I've been put through the ringer ever since that it goes back way further than this at this point. From
ringer.
Jesse James, think about the pain I've suffered.
Okay.
I'm the victim, you know? Ben Roethlisberger has a cast, and he gets to go sit on a fancy couch. Yep. I'm the victim.
Yeah, he gets paid a lot still, too.
Jesse James, from that point forward, then the embarrassment in the divisional round against the Jaguars.
That was rough.
Housed by Blake Bortles. Think about that. That's more embarrassing on some level than it was even in the moment when you think about it. Blake Bortles
I don't know how much Blake had to do with that, but that's fine.
Listen.
He didn't play defense, but that's fine.
Okay. That happens. Then last year, the embarrassment of that and the pain, the raw pain I suffered watching them lose to the Broncos. And with all due respect to the bum Raiders.
Here it comes.
Then the Saints, the heartbreaker in New Orleans where no one could win a game. And then they should have won, but a bad call. And now let's jump now to Roethlisberger out for the year and the whole mess with the aforementioned 84. And a chance to salvage something in a mediocre to crummy division, nay, an entire conference, save the Patriots and the Chiefs. And I'm interested in your thoughts about that, about who else is even relevant in the conference at this point. Mm-hmm. Again, all due respect.
That's
to,
fine.
To Derek's
team. I understand. It's been a common theme the last month. No one
the cares. Steelers win on Sunday, and they get to 2-3 in that division. They have, you know, they still have a chance, and I guess in a crummy division, they may theoretically still have a chance. I don't have a question.
I just
wanted to get that off my chest. I have nothing to say, really.
In reality, I mean, how long is that whole time span? That entire time span you just laid out was like maybe 12 months, Is it not even
more like
not even,
a, yeah, yeah, something like that. 18 to 20 months. Yeah.
Okay, 18 to 20 months.
I've suffered a lifetime's worth of pain.
The Browns fans, are there any Browns fans? I mean, how long have you suffered and still suffering? Maybe they play tonight. Play well, but
again, but that's our expectation. Listen, I also happen to be,
my goodness,
as somebody who was born and raised on the banks of the Three Rivers, I'm all in. That means that I also root for the baseball team. So I know. Don't tell me. I understand expectation.
You didn't mention that at the beginning.
Yeah, but that's the same thing. You see?
Yeah, I understand.
I understand expectation. I have different expectation level for the football team than I do the baseball team.
You really should.
And I've been suffering quite a bit. So what I can't take on top of injuries and whatever are bad calls. Where do you come down on that roughing the passer call?
I think
was that the worst one you've ever seen?
I saw three yesterday that were terrible. Roughing the passer calls to me are, I just get,
you're a QB.
I get visibly sick on my couch watching these games, thinking about all the roughing the passer calls that I possibly could have gained. 3,000 or 4,000 yards extra in my career is not, I don't think that's overstating that. I think that that's still out there. I don't know. It's just so frustrating. Yeah, it's one of the worst things I've ever seen, because now you can't touch the quarterback in the head. You can't hit him low. You can't hit him high. What do you do? And then the Raiders even had one where he went to tackle, perfect form tackle around the waist, and he's going down. He puts his hands out, and oh, by the way, he put 100 of his 330 pounds on the left side of the Bears quarterback. And roughing the passer, interception returned.
Well, but of course, everybody points out, and you watch Mason Rudolph earlier in that same game in Heinz Field. You watch Earl Thomas. I'm not suggesting on any level that he intended to jaw the guy. But the fact of the matter is the helmet hits Mason Rudolph and he's out cold. And that's top three or bottom three or whatever for worst scenes I've seen in a game where I thought.
Oh, I would say that was the worst thing I've ever seen.
I mean, the way he was laying there,
and they carried him off, and he still had the helmet on.
Well,
with the face
and the
mask.
Other thing is, Ryan Shazier walking right next to him while I was.
Did they have to put the camera on Ryan Shazier the entire time?
I mean,
that was a little bit. I wasn't really feeling that.
Was rough. And barely drew the flag until they, had the time to look at it and say, why is number two prone on the field? And then that led them to the 15-yard personal foul. But then later, Lamar Jackson, and it's a weird thing because, like you say, I mean, it's the solution. Let's just jump to the end of this. Is it as simple as that they have to make it reviewable?
Yeah, that would be fine. I would be okay with that. I don't know what he's supposed to do. I mean, that was literally a perfect tackle. I don't know what are they supposed to do, because how do you hit the quarterbacks? Maybe you do that. Maybe you go to where it's reviewable and you're like, you know what? That wasn't it. And like even the ones that even brushed the quarterback's face, like it's not forcible contact. It was a hand to the helmet. I mean, what are we doing? They did that to Dak Prescott yesterday. Hand to the helmet.
He's running, scrambling.
So maybe that's what you do. You make it reviewable. I mean, the reviewable thing is it opens a can of worms too, because like the pass interference stuff too. Now, pass interference is not, they're not overturning these calls.
You tell a coach that this is pass interference.
This is what pass interference is. And you say, well, that was pass interference that I just saw. And you throw the flag out there and then they're like, no, you know what? That wasn't pass interference, because it's got to be a little bit stronger than that. What are you telling those guys?
Here's how this is a legitimate, thought from me on this. I first of all think you have to go back in time and you have to allow more hand checking or whatever you want to call it.
I'm fine with that.
The back and forth. And yes, it will depress scoring a little bit. And
Dak Prescott got through for 460 yards yesterday and no one even cares.
But the thing of any play where that's on the outside, the hashes, you're always going to have a back and forth between the receiver and the DB pushing back and forth. So you could theoretically, you could challenge every one of those because you would never be wrong on it.
I heard Dean Blandino say, well, it didn't necessarily impede his progress down. I mean, if you put your hand out and have to forcibly push someone away, that impedes me running faster than I can. I mean, running as fast as I can down the field. So everything, like you said, every contact is definitely an opportunity to throw a pass interference.
Here's how you make up a little bit for the scoring deficit that will create. But I think you got to do it because it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's gonna create wonky results that overwhelm the quality of the game. And I got to say, nobody in the last 40 years has devoted more of his life that to watching other human beings do an activity than I have watching people play football in college in the NFL. I mean, I've really devoted.
I'm here for
the detriment to the detriment of my personal relationships,
right?
And to the well-being of my own children. I have watched a lot of football, and I gotta say, it is unsatisfying that we have now. It's an spaghetti behind the glass. You know about this. You grew up with this. I do not have visceral recall about being like 12 years old watching games and feeling like my team scored a touchdown. Like your enthusiasm as a fan is tempered by like, are there flags? That's bad.
That
your thought is always like, that was a great play, but I can't be excited. I can't react. It's a weird, it's not the most important thing, but as a fan, like that you think like, wait, did the play-by-play guy miss a flag? And sometimes you know what he doesn't know, and like the little graphic thing has flown up, it's yellow in the bottom, like, hey, dummy, and then you get mad at the play-by-play guy. Stop talking about what a great play it was because there's a flag on the field, and then we got to wait and see if it counts. And then very often, and I like them letting the plays go in theory.
Yeah, I do like that.
Don't blow it dead, let it go, but then it creates for wonky behavior. Connor Orr pointed this out from Sports Illustrated, a good thought on that. The problem with letting it go is some guys are going full speed and other guys are going two-thirds, and that's going to cause some
issues.
Injuries and stuff, probably.
You almost have to start coaching it now. You're like, okay, is the ball on the ground? We got to go full speed. We got to tackle guys. What if the other coach doesn't coach that? You're going to have a train wreck out of
But right, Spaghetti? Is that? I mean, your life has been spent where you can't fully celebrate any touchdown or any result from a given play.
You just wait for the, like you said, the yellow graphic to pop up, or if it's like a pass play, a big third down, and like the defender, you know, there's some contact there, defends the pass. You're like, and then you go, worse is listening to on the radio. I was listening to the Giants Vikings game on the radio.
The touchdown!
Yeah.
My team! Let's celebrate!
And especially when
flag down.
Because you hear the crowd noise first, and then the announcer will say, like, Bob Papa will come in second after the Giants fans are going crazy, and then it's like, oh, no. There's a flag in the backfield. It's holding. It's coming back. I mean, the problem is, too, is like everyone's speaking out against it, and I don't want to get too critical of the NFL here, but it's like, I don't know if this will change anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's not, even though there's so much noise.
Here are two things. First of all, a smaller thing that would help, that would boost scoring a little bit, is I don't know why holding is a 10-yard penalty.
Oh, my goodness.
For 15 years, like I've bellyached
like
on this
couch.
Issue.
It's like you're on my couch yesterday.
Why is it a 15? It's weird, if only because it's the only penalty that is 10 yards. Why do they have a 10-yard penalty? Holding, again, people always say, and I talked to some offensive linemen guys like Jeff Schwartz and Ross Tucker and Sean O'Hara and those guys, and they'll say that's not exactly right that you could call holding on every play. They push back on that. Yeah. But you kind of could play that game if you wanted to. And it just, I don't know if it's a drive ruiner at this point, because it seems as though as soon as you're second and 20, those teams, that the next play is to throw it in the middle of the field and let your tight end run up, and very often you wind up third and four anyway with that.
Right.
But anyhow, made it a 5-yard penalty, it wouldn't feel so grievous a flag to see.
Yeah, it's just terrible because you'll have a nice run and the holding will be like backside, not even a part of the play. Or even like I even said, like you can even make it a spot foul, because even like if there's a pass play and the offensive line is engaged and he's holding it 5 yards, like, okay, I get it. Okay, that's where he was holding, right? But to move them back another 10, and then now it's first and 20. You're not going to get first and 20s. You're not going to get second and 20s. It's just, in the NFL, it's a drive killer to me personally. I don't like it.
Also, the other thing is, too, that we started talking about that here on this show at least 9 or 10 years ago, and a lot of people...
Wow, we need to make some change. I mean, that's been a long time you've had this conversation.
What do you want to do?
Change it.
I was going to say, like, change the show.
No,
like,
I mean, it's
yeah,
just,
I mean, I agree.
Institute some...
The Dave Damashek show, yards. Now hosted by David Carr. It's much better now.
You know? That change. Just, it should be fixed by
the
now.
The DC.
You guys have been talking about this for a decade. I mean,
well, listen, here's the answer. And they've gotten closer to this at least, but the human error continues to be a problem. The idea that, well, you need to have a nerve center removed from the emotion and beyond and the coach in your ear and so on the field and move it off to a nerve center in New York City, or the NHL was ahead of this and they had, you know, up in Toronto or wherever. There continues to be subjective misreads, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And a lot of Ravens fans on Sunday after the game said, how can you complain about the Lamar Jackson roughing the passer thing? There were bad calls against the Ravens, too. Yeah, but those were more like 60-40. I'll even give you a 70-30. I'm not, I'm a homer, whatever. Yeah, the big homer. Yeah, I always pick the Steelers to win every game. That's what I think. No. I said in the moment that Devin Bush's interception wasn't really an interception. He lost control as he goes to the ball, and the right. point of it hit the ground. They shouldn't have done that. Deontay Johnson's catch off of the right arm of the third stringer Devlin Hodges shouldn't have been a catch. They gave those to him,
yeah.
But those are arguable. But I think they misread them. I think Al Riveron or whoever is assessing that play in New York City got it wrong.
Right.
But those are more 60-40. The Lamar Jackson was egregious. I mean, that was a little what?
It's terrible.
And it's unreviewable. That's bad. But why they can't, and I know the answer to this, I'm saying this rhetorically, but why they can't let that call be made into the referee's ear, as opposed to this nonsense of like, let's stop the game.
Yes.
And then we got to do a review and we got to have a conversation. It could be as fast as like, hey, ref on the field, that wasn't PI. They just keep going like that.
Why can't that happen?
Because my read on it is, I'm not guessing.
You can't see enough.
I've talked with people about that. Well, no, the answer that they don't want to have the referees have no control. On the field.
I mean, you're just really talking about pass interference and then roughing the passer. I mean, that's really...
I know, but they feel like that the referees must be in control of the game on some level.
Because that would solve the issue of the coaches saying, that's pass interference, throwing the flag and saying, you're right, but it's not egregious enough to overturn the call on the field. That would solve that issue instantly. Jason Garrett, like, spiking the flag is because... That's why, because you guys messed it up. And
people don't like change. That's what it comes down to. People don't like the idea. But when I've watched baseball my whole life, there was always an umpire behind the catcher. That's not reason enough that it shouldn't be determined by the computer that can get it down to the 1 millionth inch of how close that was to an actual strike. Not some old man standing behind him bent over.
I think it's funny, and it varies on the different umpires. Like, the box is there, and even the announcers doing the games are old school. Baseball guys and be like, oh, this guy calls a little wider, and you'll see the ball 4 inches outside, and he's like, strike. I'm like, they got to know that's where he calls. And I'm like, no, that's not a strike.
It all these conjured arguments, these manufactured pushback kind of things about like, pay college kids, how dare you? Like, the reason you don't like it,
broke college kid.
Let's be honest why you don't like it. It's not because you philosophically don't like the idea of those. It's because you know it will be disruptive to something you enjoy as a spectator. Yeah. You don't like the idea of it changing. And the powerhouse teams, if you take it to another level, if you're a supporter, a booster of a powerhouse, you also know deep down that that's probably going to create some parity. I don't like parity. I don't like those. I don't like changes either.
Yeah.
But if it's going to make it the idea that like, well, human error is part of the sport. It doesn't have to be. But then pass interference is the exception. I think that's part of it, too. It's the paradox of what you and I are saying. We're both saying that we would like it to be called correctly.
Yeah.
But also, the hand checking down the field, it would be an impossibility to eliminate. If I'm running full speed, there's no way, if my job is to stop you from getting the ball, and if we touch each other, we're going, human beings, believe it or not, put their hands up as they're about to touch other human beings.
It's weird, I know. And everyone,
if you're running full speed, that is unavoidable, that you've got to allow some of that to go on. And yet you see there are going to be more games that are going to be won or lost based on weird challenges. That should have been PI. That shouldn't have been. And that's ultimately just unsatisfying.
Well, and here the biggest problem is we're just at the early stages of the season. So
that's
just
right.
Wait until this happens in a game that really matters. That's going to be the real issue.
All right. Eddie Spaghetti wants us to end here. Is that right, Spaghetti?
I'm just giving you the heads up.
You're telling me it's 1 o'clock in my ear?
David is a very busy man on Mondays, so I'm just helping you guys both out. I don't want this to end. This is a great conversation. This is, I mean, again, it's sad that today there's more articles out about rules.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah. Totally.
So what are we talking about? I mean, really, is there a story with the possible exception of Minshew Mania that is bigger 5 weeks into the NFL season? That's not satisfying for anybody. That's not what anybody wants.
I completely agree.
And then the other thing is, too, that I'll say, as much as I hate, I do hate parody, and I am no Patriots fan. I don't like being embarrassed by the Patriots as a supporter of another AFC team. But the Patriots do the NFL a favor by always being good and always being a powerhouse.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because if you take them out of the mix, who's good now?
You're like, we were talking about that just today in our meeting.
And people say,
who's good? Like, no one's good. I'm like, someone's good.
No.
I know, but I'm with you because it doesn't look like it.
Who's okay, the Chiefs, let's even assume after.
Who's the best team in the NFC? And I was like, I don't know. Philly? They're like, no. And they're like, okay, is it San Francisco? They're undefeated. They're like, no. And I'm like, is it Dallas? They just got blown out by the Packers. So who is it? I don't know.
Seahawks?
Maybe. Right. They're maybe Seattle. Not, no one pays attention. Like, I mean, I like Seattle. I think they're good. But are they the best team? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they're all good. Maybe
but
they're
is that,
all good.
That's
all
you know what?
Professional football players.
I don't want to go on and on here.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll pick that up next time because I've argued this point before. And I get I get the logic of it. But again, I am not an NFL owner. I am not a major. I'm not the owner of a network or anything else. I'm not going to side with that. Yeah, I get why if you're Fox that you would want to have as many teams relevant. If you're Sunday night football producers, I want as many good teams out there as possible.
I
so that
get two bad ones.
Yeah, because we got a bad Thursday night game in week 11. That's no. Yeah, I get why you would want that. Right. I'm saying for me as a fan, I like some sense to things. I don't want it to feel like coin flips every game. I don't want every game. It ceases to be an actual upset if every week, like, why did that one happen?
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, that's why you're going to be in charge of situational football because too many good coaches are screwing that up. And that's what happens. That's why good teams lose.
Tomlin with his clock management, another thing. Don't start me about that.
I know. And there would be more good teams if more good coaches would actually pay attention to that. And they let the
college my goodness.
Do their thing.
They get a gift pick right at the end of the first half. And they get off three plays in 33 seconds. The first of which is a completed pass inbounds. And they don't use their timeout with 28 seconds left on the clock. What are you doing? What are you doing if the next play gets out? What if the next play gets tackled inbounds? Then you run to the line and you spike it.
Right.
You would have 12 seconds left
to
kick the field goal.
Out, just sitting there
what are you talking about?
Casual observer. What do they talk about if they're not talking about that exact scenario?
Last thing, that
during
kick
the week.
That kick in Heinz Field in overtime, you and I both thought it was no good, but we checked the rules.
We did. We went back.
If it goes directly over the crossbar.
It's good.
Kickers are too good, and that's another issue. What they need to do is that they need to put a bar.
You clearly are
across.
Not a Chicago Bears fan because they've had, I mean, there's been some teams out there. Minnesota, recent memory, have really struggled. So, I mean, maybe you're just blessed with, you know.
Well, Adam Carolla feels he fixed it when he said they must extend the goalposts higher, which they did, but it obviously didn't resolve it completely.
Because kickers are too good.
And kickers are too good. Yep. And my solution is we must raise the standard. Again, people won't like this because it's change. But you know what we do? We put a bar across the top. Now you have to get it into the box.
Through the box.
Now there's no guesswork from the guy standing underneath the posts or anything. It either goes through the box or it doesn't.
I would vote for that just for the entertainment factor alone, to hit the top upright and then just to hear the
no good.
From 60
how about
yards
this?
Out, Justin Tucker hit
how about
the top
this?
Of the upright.
You hit the top of the upright, I give you one. How about that? You get one for the top of the upright.
I always thought that would be fun, and you could eliminate all injuries altogether on kickoffs. All this stupid, like, line him up at the – no. If you kick it through the uprights on the kickoff, you get 3 points.
Let's round it out here with it's time for the food block presented by Bon and Viv, Spike Seltzer.
Okay.
And so I guess we could talk about, did Derek report back on food?
He didn't.
He didn't talk food.
I was
kind of
disappointed.
You?
I told him, like, going over there, I'm like – it's going to be – there's some good food there. You just have to go to the right place. And he didn't give me anything. I apologize.
I do hear that the food's been upgraded over there. That became a thing. Like, well, we UK has no good food, but in the last quarter
it's century. Been better. It really was a lack of salt or lack of any kind of...
Seasoning, huh?
Yeah, seasoning. There just wasn't...
Wow, the Indian food in London is super spicy.
Oh, really?
I mean, so it's, like, it's hard to handle.
Oh, they go over the top.
I mean, I like spicy, but it made my eyes
water. Really?
Yeah.
We had it when I played there with the 49ers, it was it was terrible. It was just dry, just chicken and...
Made by the locals?
Yeah, it was probably just probably the hotel that just made it, but they said it was going to be really good, but it was terrible.
Did they try to Americanize it for you?
They didn't. They would give us little ketchup bottles. There was like a pyramid of like little ketchup bottles, so we all just kind of added that, which helped, but it wasn't.
I like those little bottles. They make me feel special.
Yeah.
Last thing then, let's round out a conversation that we had a couple of times last week, but I'm going to ask it a lot because I really enjoy the question. If you had to eat one NFL mascot, had to because you're hungry, you haven't eaten anything in 3 days, which one do you eat?
Oh, man.
I'm not saying you want to order. People got confused by this. People are like, at a restaurant? Like, no, you're not going to a restaurant and on purpose eating a Raven. But what if you had to?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my goodness. Give me some options. Give me the best. Give me the top three.
The names we've been tweeted at are people actually eat Ram.
Do they eat Ram?
Surprisingly, a lot of
it's
people.
It's a sheep, I guess. Okay. Makes sense.
All right. Surprisingly, a lot of people eat bear. But it's like, there's like bear.
Oh, yeah. My brother-in-law eats bear.
He does?
Yeah. He likes it.
That was a shock.
I had bear chili, actually. He has it for his birthday every year. He does like a chili cook-off. So everyone makes a chili and then you bring it in and you vote on it. And he won't tell us what strange meat is in his chili every year. And last year was bear. It was actually pretty good.
It was, huh? Yeah. I legitimately feel I've led a sheltered life because it has never come up in any conversation.
The only time I've ever had it is
eating bear. I didn't know people did it.
I know. Bear chili is really good.
I could see that being good. When you think it through, it makes sense it would taste good. It's like a cow. It's like a more active cow.
Yeah.
You know? But it's like a mean cow, basically.
An angry cow.
Sharp teeth cow.
Bears are monsters. I mean, that's really, if we're going to get into it, that's the most monsterish animal we have in this.
That, you know, Matt Money Smith raised the legitimate concern that it might throw off the food chain in the forests or wherever the bears roam free.
Started eating the bears?
Well, if you take them out of the mix,
that's true. No, that's true.
Maybe. But that being said, if you're a man of justice, bears are mean. So don't you want to eat the villain? You don't like cows are nice. They just want to hang out. They want to be left alone. And how do we pay them back? We eat them for
it. Put them in things and eat them.
That's not nice. Bears, we go around them. They're going to kill us. You know what?
Quickly.
Now we own this forest, bear, and I'm going to eat you. You know?
So is bear it? Like, we're going to start eating bear? Is that what we're going to do?
We could eat a dolphin.
That's what I thought, dolphin. I don't know why. Why did I go to dolphin?
Because it's a nice fish.
Maybe that's why. I wonder what it tastes like, though. People don't eat dolphins. They're too... They got too many...
Slippery.
Their human instincts are just... They have way too many... Their brain capacity is...
I always like when people announce that. I always like with, the second smartest creature.
I mean, that's what
I've heard. Is the dolphin. It's one of those ones that no one investigates. It's sort of like it's like having a girlfriend in Niagara Falls.
It's Flipper.
No one can disprove you on this one.
Flipper is, but I blame Flipper.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Dolphins are. It's like being a dream animal.
That's the first animal.
You know what
I
mean?
Of,
you know what? If you do that in your dream, you know what that means is this. Like, well, you can't ever disprove the claim, so I guess that makes you.
I guess
it's
true.
That's one. Add that one to the list of
Because their behavior. Not to get deep into dolphins, I think it's because they do stuff.
I've swum with them. Like they do, like. Like, they know how to play. Know what's happening.
Yeah, they do like pranks and they do stuff for fun, not just because it's like their their instincts. Like, okay, we have to just sleep and hunt. And
like a bad person that I said dolphin in my brain. I shouldn't even have said it.
Well, expect a call from PETA. We got to get you and Handsome Hank and Derek Carr and Khalil Mack together. Let's do that for next week, Eddie Spaghetti. In the meantime,
one more chair. It
would be great stuff from David Carr, as always. It's a pleasure to see you once again. I enjoyed the Q&A, by the way, at NFL. Check it out. David Carr joins in for one of the questions there. Maybe we'll do that every week, Eddie Spaghetti. I like the idea of that. All right, back for our video/audio show on Wednesday with Matt Money Smith. I don't know if Handsome, I think he's still out. We'll let you know about that. In the meantime, thanks to Carr and thanks to you. It's been a Thin Slice of Heaven.